We go.
Blog Talk Radio.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise ye the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord in Jesus' name. We praise God for being here on today in Jesus' name. This is the Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network. Amen. If you are listening to me today, you are blessed. Not because you're hearing my voice. My voice means nothing without the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you are listening to me today, you are blessed because you are yet in the land of the living. Amen. And that is a reason to give God praise. Amen. We praise God for each and every one of you listening to wherever you're listening to me from. I'm not going to do a Bishop Carver on today, but wherever you're listening to me from around the world, we praise God for you. This is the show that gets your weekend started off right. This is the show where the gospel is told and not sold, y'all. Amen. I praise God for each and every one of you in Jesus' name. Amen. First, giving honor to God, who is the head of my life. Amen. Giving honor to the watchman on the wall of this network, of the Spirit Alive Network, in Jesus' name. Apostle Cook, in Jesus' name. God bless you, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to my pastor and my First Lady, Pastor William A. Tuggle III, and First Lady Cosette Tuggle, in Jesus' name. Giving honor to the all of the Triumphant Faith Apostolic Assembly family, in Jesus' name. And last but not least, surely not least, my beautiful wife, my children, in Jesus' name. I give honor to Kiswana Tuggle, in Jesus' name, my beautiful wife, and my three handsome sons. Amen. They just big heads. Amen. But I thank God for them. Amen. And I also have to say happy belated birthday to my youngest son. He celebrated a birthday at the beginning of the month. I was not here during his birthday because I was in the hospital. But I thank God for my son. And he got on me before I came here. He said, well, Daddy, you didn't say happy birthday to me over the airways. And I said, that's because I was in Daddy was in the hospital that week. And last week I forgot. So he got on me. And so if I told him today that I would say happy birthday to him, happy seventh birthday to my youngest son, Rashad Tuggle. Amen. God bless you. I love you. You are one of, other than Jesus Christ, Jesus first. And I thank God for you, Rashad, because you are a blessing in my life. You are my son, and I love you in Jesus' name. I just want to let you know that Daddy does love you in Jesus' name. Amen. On today, we are talking about a very phenomenal, phenomenal topic on today. And this topic today is for, when I say it's for everybody, it's for everybody. This is not a topic just for the saved. This is not just a topic just for the unsaved. This is not just a topic for just the backslider. This is a topic for everybody, because the Lord dealt with me on this. And this, the title of this topic is Recommit to the Commitment of Christ. Amen. Recommit to the commitment of Christ. As we see in the Word of God, we know that recommitment, or making a commitment to God,
is something that we all should and could. And if we don't make a commitment to God, it might mean our eternity if we don't. Because God is looking for commitment. He is looking for commitment to himself. He is looking for us to commit our ways unto him, not unto man, not unto us, not unto our wives and our husbands and different people in our life, but he is looking for us to live our life in a committed and committed unto him, our lives to be lived in a commitment unto him. And the reason why we say recommit to the commitment of Christ is because every day we should recommit. We should recommit ourselves. Even if you might say, well, I'm saved, sanctified, and filled with the Holy Ghost. Why do I got to recommit? I ain't in sin. I'm not doing anything wrong. We still have to recommit every day. Because every day that we live, we go through the battle. We go through the test. We go through the trial. We go through persecution. Sometimes we have to go through a test more than once because we have not passed the test. And that's it happens. It doesn't make you less than. It doesn't make you better than. If you pass the test the first time, that's great. If you don't, you got to go through it again. But we should always and recommitting is not always because of sin. Recommitting is because we want to get closer to the Lord. So that's why we say today that recommit to the commitment of Christ. You might be a person that is giving your all to the Lord. You might want to just get a little bit closer to the Lord. Recommit. Just tell the Lord, I recommit myself unto you. Things that I did not do today or things that I did not do yesterday, I'm going to do today. And that's showing initiative. Amen. And for that person that has been in Christ, that has walked away from Christ, you need to recommit yourself back unto the Lord. Amen. Amen. Where you were, you need to get back to it. If you found yourself in a backslidden state, and if you're backslidden, come back home. Come back home. And if you have not committed yourself to the Lord, if you have not committed your life unto the Lord, you need to commit yourself. And you have a recommitment to do yourself. And it has nothing, that sinner man, and this is who I'm talking to, the sinner man, the one that has not committed their life to God at all. You need to recommit. And it has nothing to do with what you did. You just had to be born. But you still have to recommit because of your father, your natural father, your birthly father, Adam. The first man that was ever born, that was ever created on the face of the earth. Because of him, you have to recommit. Even though you have not committed yet, you have to be in a committed state unto God because of sin. Because of the fall of Adam, you have to recommit because mankind has to recommit itself to back unto God. So that's why I said at the beginning, this is why this is for everybody on today. Amen. I gotta keep pace with the Holy Ghost on today because this is a very timely topic and this is a very important topic. So we're gonna jump right on into this. We're gonna go to the book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter 16. Proverbs chapter 16, starting at verse number 3. And we're going to read this. Amen. And it reads, Commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things for himself, yea, even the wicked for the day of evil. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Thus does hand join in hand. He shall not be unpunished. By mercy and truth, iniquity is purged. And by the fear of the Lord, men depart from evil. When a man's ways please the Lord, he maketh even his enemies to be at peace with him. This verse is, and I want to focus on the first verse, verse number 3. It is letting us know to commit. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. What is that saying? It is letting us know that we must commit. Now, everything about us must be committed unto the Lord. Colossians 3:17 says, whatsoever ye do in word or in deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus. Now, I want you to focus on in staying in these verses. I want you to look at verse number 3, and I want you to see that verse number 4, the beginning of verse number verse number 3 and the beginning of verse number 4. It says, commit thy works unto the Lord, and thy thoughts shall be established. The Lord has made all things for himself. When he made you for himself. He didn't make you, he didn't create you just to be here. It was not by happy chance that you are yet still in the land of the living. He lets you live this day because of him. He has an assignment. He has a commitment that he wants from you. This is the reason why you are living on today. You might be a person that says, well, Minister Adam, I don't know why I'm here. I don't know why. I don't know why I made it over. Luck just brought me over. No, it wasn't luck. It was not luck that you got out of that situation. It was by the mercy and the grace of God, because he has a commitment for you to recommit to. If you haven't done it, or if you said you were going to do it, you made a vow unto God, and you by chance, and I'm just going to show some grace and some mercy here, you forgot about the vow, all right? Say you made a vow to the Lord and you forgot. 9 times out of 10, they probably didn't, but we're going to show some grace and some mercy. Amen. You forgot about the vow, and you told God, God, if you get me out of this, I'm going to do this. And you didn't do it. You need to recommit yourself. You need to recommit yourself. How do we recommit our lives? Because it shows us in verse number 4, it says, the Lord has made all things for himself. He made you for himself. So what do we do? What does the Lord want us to do when he's made us for himself? What does he want us to do to be in alignment with our commitment, to be in right standings with him? Because he's created us for himself. The Bible says we are his workmanship. Why? It's because he has something for us to do. So how do we get in line with the thoughts and the processes of God? How do we get in alignment with the commitment that God wants us to make with him so that we can do the work of God, so that we can do what God has called for us to do? How? Well, the Bible lets us know what we should do. Let's go to Romans chapter 12. Amen? And we're going to find out. Romans chapter 12, verse number 1 and verse number 2. Very, very known scripture, very known verses in the kingdom of God. Churches talk about this verse, talk about these two verses a lot. And it reads, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, not unto man, but unto God, which is your reasonable service. Verse number 2, and be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Why in the world would he have us to be a living sacrifice? Why does he want us to come unto him and present our lives? Because all we have is our life. Uh-oh, what do you mean all I have is my life? I got all this stuff. I can, back in the Old Testament, they used to bring sacrifices unto the temple, frankincense and myrrh, and they used to sacrifice lambs and doves and all that stuff. I got all this stuff to bring unto the Lord. Why my life? Because that's what the Lord wants. He says it right here. And why is it a living sacrifice? I asked the Lord, why in the world would you say a living sacrifice? What? Why? Why? And the Lord showed me. The Lord showed me. He wants us to be that living, breathing epistle. He wants us to show him off. This is the reason why you are living today. Because it is an assignment for you. Your day-to-day life is a day, every day that you live. The Lord showed me this. Every day that you live, today, if you're living on today you have an assignment, and the assignment is to show Jesus off in your life. Now, your flesh don't want to do that. My flesh don't want to do that. My flesh does not care about the things of God. My flesh only cares about the things of this world. My flesh wants to be pleased. This is why we have a battle between the spirit and the flesh. Now, we must bring our flesh up under subjection to the Holy Ghost. We must bring our flesh up under subjection to the will of God. Amen? When we bring our flesh up under subjection to the will of God, we are sacrificing what our flesh wants. For example, and it's not necessarily that you're sinning. It's not necessarily that somebody that you're sacrificing, that you're crucifying your flesh because you're sinning. It's not because of that. It's not necessarily because of that. It's not necessarily because of a person that's sinning. It's because maybe I might want to do something. Say, for example, and say the Lord tells me to go to the store and witness to somebody. Lord, I look, My body is tired. I'm sleepy. I don't feel like doing that. I really don't feel. And you know, we our bodies is telling us, you need to lay in the bed. You need to lay in the bed. But you find yourself getting up out of the bed, going to witness to somebody at the store, even though you're tired. That's making a sacrifice. That's what being a living sacrifice is. That's part of it. Fasting when you don't want to. Because you know, we already know that our flesh don't want to fast. Our flesh don't want to pray. Sometime in the midnight hour when we sleeping good, but the Lord, you tossing and turning, that's the Lord waking you up to tell you, I want to talk to you. The Lord telling you to get up because he want to have a word with you. The Lord telling you to get up because he wants you to get in his word. He wants to show you something. But your body's saying, I just need 5 more minutes, Lord. But you get up anyway and you start getting into the word, or you start praying. That's a sacrifice. That's a sacrifice. Or when your bills is due. And I'm doing this on an earthly sense. I'm bringing it down to the. I'm bringing it down. I'm breaking. The Lord is having me break this down to the earthly sense. You got bills due galore, but yet the Lord tells you, you either have a choice to either pay your car note or pay your tithes, and you choose. Okay, Lord, and you already know what the Lord's gonna say, so I don't even know why we even do this. Lord, what should I do? Should I pay my tithes or should I pay my car note? You know what the Lord's going to tell you. You know what the Lord's going to tell you. Pay your tithes. Pay your tithes. Or you got a light bill due or you got rent due. Pay your tithes. Pay your tithes. These are the things that we need to recommit to on a day-to-day basis. We got several examples in the Word of God that people recommitted every day, it's not a recommitment that you might be in sin, but it's a recommitment every day. I'm going to refresh myself. I'm going to get closer to the Lord. I'm going to recommit myself. I'm going to do better today than I did yesterday. I'm recommitting myself. I'm doing better. I'm going to do better. I'm going to witness to more souls today than I did yesterday. I witnessed to 5 souls yesterday. Today I'm witnessing to 10. Recommitted. I'm recommitting. And every day, that's why the songwriter says, every day with Jesus gets sweeter than the day before. Every day with Jesus, I love him more and more. Why? Because I'm recommitting to the commitment that I made with Christ. Now, for the sinner man that has not committed at all, let me break this down to you, because you need to recommit too. You might say, well, I never made a commitment, so how am I going to recommit? Oh, yes, you did. Yes, you did. You just didn't do it. You just didn't do it. But I show you in the Word of God where mankind did it, and you fall underneath mankind. Let's go to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2. That great book of Genesis. All right, y'all. In Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17. And it reads, and the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it. For in the day that thou shalt eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Now, These three verses are letting us know that man, when man was created, man was automatically in a commitment with God. They were in perfect standings with God. Adam was put in the Garden of Eden in verse 15 to dress it and to keep it. He was given a charge. He was given a commitment right there in verse 15. It says, the Lord God took the man, which was Adam, and put him in the Garden of Eden to dress it and to keep it. That was the commitment right there. And the charge, and he was also given instruction in that commitment. He was given instruction. He was given, I don't want to say the word pleasure, but he was able to do what he wanted to do within reason, because he said he was able to get, the Lord commanded the man, saying, of every tree of the garden thou mayest freely eat, which means you can eat whatever you want. You can name the animals whatever you want to name them. You can do whatever you want to do, but I'm asking you not to do this. As long as you don't do this, you can do whatever you want to do. I'm giving you free rein to do whatever you want to do. But he found himself. Adam, in that authority that God gave him, he started smelling himself. In the world's terms, he started feeling himself a little bit too much. He started feeling himself. He said, okay, all right, God, you gave me this authority, and you gave me the authority to name the animals, and you gave me the authority to keep up in the garden and all this stuff. And that's the same way we feel right now. Oh, God gave us free will. That don't mean you abuse it. God gave us free will to do whatever we want to do. I heard some people back when I was in high school say, this is my life and I'm going to live it the way I want to. God gave me free will to live. God gave us free will to serve him and not to serve him, or not to serve him. He did. But he did not give us free will to choose the consequences of our actions. He didn't give us free will to choose the consequences, but he gave us free will to live. And if you're not living in him, which he created you and designed you to do, you're really not living. You're really not living. You just breathing. You just walking breath. Breath and britches. That's all you are. You ain't nothing but breath and britches. Without God in your life, without you having a commitment with him, without you having a relationship with him, without you being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins and receiving the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, you are breath and breeches. You're really not living, because the Bible says that he is the way, the truth, and the life. If you're looking for life, there's a whole lot of people looking for life in all the wrong places. They're looking for life over here. My former pastor used to say that all the time. These young people are looking for life in all the wrong places. They're trying to live, but they ain't living. And that's the way the world is today. They're looking for life in all the wrong places. That's the way the sinner man living. That's the way the backsliders living. And that's the way some people in the church is living too. It ain't all on the sinner man. It ain't all on the all on the backslider. It's some of them people right there in the church that's saying hallelujah all the time, jumping and shouting and running around the church, and you need to recommit yourself. Cause it's the little foxes that spoil the vine. It's the little foxes. It's those little things that we let slide on by. Do you not know that the church needs to repent? The church needs to repent. And I'm saying this today because I feel the Holy Ghost when I say this. The Lord gave it to me, and I'm going to say it. The church needs to repent. And you know what we need to repent for? For letting the little foxes creep in. It's the little things that we have let creep in the church to destroy God's house. And God's spirit is not in some of these churches. God's spirit is not in his own house. Because we have diluted, we have polluted, we have profaned the word of God, and we have used the word of God to fit our own description. But the Bible says, be not wise in thy own eyes. We have tried to be wise in our own eyes, but the Bible says, don't do that. The Bible lets us know that there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof is death. We have led so many souls, and I'm talking to the church now. We have led so many souls astray because of the cares of life and what we wanted to do and the way we wanted to go. The devil is a liar. We have walked in our own way and walked in our own flesh and perceived the word of God the way we wanted to perceive the word of God. And God has said, no, that ain't the way I put it. That's the way you put it. And you have profaned the word of God. And I'm moving as the unction of the Holy Ghost leads me to. And you know what? I ain't ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come hell or high water. This is why the Bible talks about false prophets. Uh-oh. I had somebody I was talking to on yesterday, and they were talking to me, and they were talking about drinking. Oh, it's okay to drink. No, it's not. Jesus drank. No, he did not. Nowhere in this Bible do you hear that Jesus drunk to get drunk. Nowhere in the Bible. Well, Jesus turned water into wine. That does not mean. And I'm just using this as an example for people that try to justify what they're doing, trying to use the word of God to justify what they're doing. You can't justify sin with the word of God. You ain't going to be able to do it. As much as you try to tiptoe around it, as much as you try to, we need something to draw souls. We need to get down on their level. No, you do not. You give them the same thing that they gave us back in the day. You go to the altar, your flesh is out of control. Get to an altar. Repent. That's what they gave us. And then after you get done, repent some more. Till you're endued with all power from on high. Until you have received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost. Until you have come up underneath the mind of Christ. We need to recommit to the commitment of Christ. We have allowed. This is why we have so many backsliders. This is why we have so many sinners, because the church is not doing the job that it needs to do. This is why I believe the rapture hasn't took place, because there'll be many, not just sinner man, not just the backslider, but there'll be many. There would be many, many, many so-called saints of God that would be lost. The ones that we think that are so holy, the ones that we think, oh, they going to make it. They done made it. No. Mm-mm. Mm-mm. They've let one detriment get in their life, and they've letting it sit there. They've let one little tidbit of sin get into them, and they have allowed it to grow. Oh, I know that they made it in. I know that they made it in because, in the Because they're a bishop and they're a pastor and they're, God ain't worried about your title. God is not worried about me having a title. Because you know what? You being a bishop, you being a pastor, you being a deacon, a minister, or whatever, don't you know that you held to a higher calling than everybody else? And don't you know that those are only titles for another word for a servant? You ain't nobody. I ain't nobody. Minister Adam Tuggle is not nobody. Without Jesus, I am nothing. Because the Bible says we live, we move, and we have our being. In him, we live, we move, and we have our being. I quoted the scripture earlier. He is the way, the truth, and the life. Without him, I have nothing. So I'm a nobody without him. He was somebody. Jesus is somebody. And he's trying to get the nobodies to be somebody. Y'all didn't catch that. Y'all didn't catch that. Let me say it again. He is a somebody trying to get these nobodies to be somebody. This is something. This goes way beyond just our natural thought. Amen? This goes way beyond our natural thought process. Amen? In Genesis chapter 3, I'm going to go there real quick because I'm moving with the flow of the Holy Ghost. I'm not even in my notes anymore. But I want to go to Genesis chapter 3 because I want to show you. And I'm talking to sinners now. Because I want to make sure you know who I'm talking about and who I'm talking to. Amen. I learned that from my pastor. My pastor is not only my pastor, but he's my father. He is my natural father. And he lets me know. He said, son, I'm talking to you. He lets me know when he's talking to me as my daddy, and he lets me know when he's talking to me as my pastor. So I'm letting you know who I'm talking to today. Amen. I'm letting you know. Amen. Sinner man, I'm here to tell you today that you need to recommit yourself. Not nothing that you've done. You might say, well, I'm a sinner. I don't know about the Lord, or maybe I've never been baptized in Jesus' name. I've never received the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance. So I don't have to recommit myself. Yes, you do. Because of Adam, you do. Because of the fall of mankind, because of the bloodline being tainted with sin, you do. You're committing your life, but as of mankind, you're recommitting for mankind because the bloodline was tainted. But you as a sinner have to recommit yourself unto God because of the bloodline of mankind being tainted with sin. Amen. And underneath this, watch, I'm about to show you in Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, where it was messed up. Amen. And I'm going to read it. And it reads, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and this is the tree that God told Adam not to eat of. Amen. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and that it was pleased, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat, and gave it also unto her husband with her. And this is where you come in at the end of this verse. And he did eat. When he ate that, He then brought sin into the world. This is where you fall into play. The end of Genesis chapter 3, verse 6, this is where mankind falls into play at. Because as soon as Adam ate that of that fruit, he disobeyed God. And the Bible says all disobedience is sin. All of it. All disobedience is sin. Now watch this. Let's go to Romans. Romans chapter 5. Because I'm going to show you. You might say, well, him eating, because the serpent told him, the serpent told Eve, oh, the serpent deceived Eve. And she ate. See, and you know what? That's the way of the devil. Because the devil sometimes is not going to come himself, but he's going to use other people and other things to try to get you off course. Me and Apostle Cook was talking before the show and was talking about servant leaders being in battle, basically, and how the devil will use things around us to try to get us off course. We'll use our very own loved ones. See, this ain't the first one. We can look at Job. This is one of my best examples of a loved one, of the devil using a loved one against a man or woman of God. Job's wife told him to curse God and die. Well, Job, you're going through all this, and I'm paraphrasing y'all. You're going through all of this. Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job held his integrity, y'all. Where Adam didn't hold his integrity, Job did. He held his integrity. And that's the same thing we need to do. He recommitted himself. Job recommitted. And look, the best part about that is that Job didn't have a Holy Ghost because there was no Holy Ghost to be given. But we, living in today, we can receive the Holy Ghost and live in power and tell sin no. We got the ability to receive the Holy Ghost, to receive God's Spirit on the inside of us and be able to fulfill the scripture that says, greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And also to fulfill the scripture, Acts 1 and 8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. Uh-oh. But let's look at this. Let's look in Romans because we're running short on time and I ain't even got half. The Lord is good. Amen. Lord is good. Because I ain't even made it through halfway through this and already the Lord is blessed. Amen. But in Romans chapter 5, I want you to see this because I said the actions of Adam cost us. This is why I said earlier, we have the right to live freely. God gave us the right to choose whether to serve him or not, but we do not get to choose the consequences of the actions of the choices that we make. See? Watch this. Adam didn't get to choose. When he ate that fruit, he didn't get to choose the consequences because watch this. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it says what the actions, the consequences were. Let's look at it. In Romans chapter 5, verse number 12, it says, wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. I want you to see that first, the beginning of that verse. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, that one man was Adam. When he took that action of listening to his wife, of the eating of the fruit that he was told not to eat of, even before, look, and watch this. Look, this is what the Lord just showed me. Eve wasn't even present when God told Adam not to eat of that tree. Eve wasn't even present. It was just him and God by themselves. Because in that verse that we read in Genesis chapter 2, verses 15 through 17, Eve wasn't even present. But you listen to somebody that wasn't present with you when you was in the presence of God. How are you going to listen to somebody that wasn't even there with you in the presence of God? You were in the presence of God. And you're going to listen to somebody that wasn't even there for the conversation that you had. The serpent wasn't there, and Eve wasn't there. You remember that old saying, it's an A and B conversation, so see your way out of it. Eve needed to see her way out of that. Adam needed to think, wait a minute, Eve wasn't even here when God told me not to eat of this tree. At least ask a question, because Adam didn't ask no questions. He just ate. He just ate. He didn't ask no questions. Where did you get it from? Nothing. At least that's what the Bible didn't say. He didn't ask any questions. So to me, he didn't even ask any questions. He just said, oh, okay, here. Eight. There you go. Why? I'm going to need to ask some questions. When we recommit our lives, when we commit ourselves unto God, we need to ask ourselves, are we filling the standings with God? We need to ask questions. Am I still strong like I think I am? Can I still cast doubt? Can I still cast down the devil? Because somebody, can I still pray like I should be praying? Am I still underneath the anointing, or is it just my flesh? We need to ask ourselves questions. We need to ask God questions. Hey, God, am I still in good standings with you? It's okay to ask him, because he'll answer. He'll let you know. God, show me me. Let me see me. Am I really in good standings with you? What do I need to do? How do I need to deal with this situation? I done said it 10 times over. The Lord will show you. This book right here that we read, or some of us keep on the mantle and collect dust, because some people do that. I ain't going to sugarcoat it. They treat the Bible as a dinette piece. They don't never crack it open to see what thus saith the Lord. We got people that go to church and ain't even in church. They ain't in the church. They ain't in the church building, but they ain't in the church. The Bible says that there's going to be people that cry, Lord, Lord, but won't enter in. We need to recommit to the commitment of Christ. If we don't recommit and we stay in sin, guess what happens? Let's go to Isaiah. I'm going to show you this in Isaiah. In the book of Isaiah, Isaiah 59, verse number 2. If we do not commit ourselves unto God on a day-to-day basis, and we let sin fester in us, or we let and it ain't just sins of sexual immorality. It ain't just sins of It could be sins of jealousy. It could be sins of bitterness, unforgiveness. That's a sin. It ain't just drinking and smoking and partying and all that stuff. It can just be, you could just be lying. That's a sin. The Bible says a liar will not tarry in his sight. It's the little foxes. That's why the Bible says leave no place, neither leave no place for the devil. We talked about it on, not last week, but the week before last, leave no room for error. Leave no room for error. Don't leave a room. Don't leave no place for the devil. Don't leave no place for the devil, your flesh, the world. Don't do it. Why? Because it is a commitment to God. It is a commitment that we have to stand on. It is the authority of God. In this commitment comes joy. In this commitment comes peace. We are giving up a lot when we don't recommit ourselves on a day-to-day basis. We are giving up a lot. Do you know if you don't talk to God on a day-to-day basis, do you know what you've given up? It's the little foxes that destroy the vine. It's the little foxes that spoil the vine. One day without talking to God, you can miss out on multitudes of blessings. I ain't going to pray today. I got too much to do. Do you know that one time you choose not to talk to God, don't you know you missing out on something? You could be missing out on a blessing that God's got stored up for you. And it may not even be a blessing of money, cars, and clothes. It might be a blessing of health, strength, a closer walk with God. But you choose not to, well, I'm too busy. You need to recommit yourself. I'm going to show you something. And this is no shot to a backslider. But do you know how a backslider becomes a backslider? One way a backslider becomes a backslider? They start getting laxed. One way a backslider becomes a backslider. That's one way. Do you know they start getting laxed in their prayer life? They start getting laxed in their fasting life. They start getting laxed in their reading of the word. Well, maybe they start letting life consume them, and they won't let the Lord consume them. What do you mean life consuming? They prioritizing wrong. Their priorities are off. This is life today. The Lord has got me teaching life. Because I grew up underneath life preachers. Your priorities are off. And I don't know who I'm talking to today, but somebody's priorities are off. You got your priorities mixed up. You got your priorities confused. You need to put God first. You wondering about this, and you need to be worrying about your life. You worrying about how you're going to pay this bill off, but you're not worried about your soul. The Bible lets me know, and the Bible lets us know, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and lose his soul? You more worried about that job than you are your soul. You more worried about them children than you are your own soul. Mm-hmm. You more worried about that school than you are your own soul. Your priorities are off. Stop. I don't know who I'm talking to. In the book of Isaiah, and this is the reason why we say our priorities are off and we need to stop. We need to start prioritizing our life better. And just because I hear some people, well, you need to prioritize your finances better so maybe you'll have more money. You need to prioritize your life so your soul will be right. So you'll be in good standings with God. Because this, what we're getting ready to read in the book of Isaiah, can happen. And that would be a very, very bad thing. Let's go to Isaiah 59. I'm going to show you If you don't prioritize and if you don't recommit yourself to the commitment of Christ, this will happen to you. This will happen to you. And I'm sorry. No, I'm not. I'm not sorry because this is the word of God. I've been told don't say you're sorry. But I'm going to show you. In Isaiah chapter 59, verse number 2, it reads, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you, that he will not hear." Do you not understand that God's face can be hidden from you? Do you know your sins? Well, God knows my heart. Stop making excuses. Stop making excuses for why you're in that state. Come out. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. I don't know who I'm talking to, but the Lord just gave me that word. Come out from among them. Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord. And I don't call myself a prophet, and I don't do that. I don't call myself a prophet. I give what thus saith the Lord, and I shut up. But I hear the Lord say, I have called you for a purpose. My purpose. I have called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. I have called you. Yes, I have called you. I have knocked at your door. And you have not answered me. But on today, I have knocked at your door again. Today, I have called you again. I am calling you again, saith the Lord. I don't know who that was for. I am calling you again. I am knocking at your door again. I don't know who that was for. I hear the Lord in the spirit. I hear the Lord in the spirit today. I have called you again. I have knocked at your door again. Time and time and time, I have knocked at your door, and you have yet to answer the call. I have given you chance after chance after chance. Yes, yes, I have called you, and yes, I have shown mercy. I have shown mercy unto you by waking you up every morning, by allowing you every day that you have gotten up. The Lord said, every day that you have got, I have allowed you to wake up, I have allowed you to get it right with me. This is not just for the backslider. This is not just for the sinner man. This is for the This is for that person that has called themselves out of darkness into the marvelous light. The one that has made their calling and election sure. He's talking to you too. Recommit yourself today. This is not a Minister Adam Tuggle call. This is a God call today. You must be born again. For the sinner man, for the backslider, I'm talking to you. You must be born again of the water and the spirit. The Bible lets us know in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, where Jesus told Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and the spirit. You got to be. which leads us over into where he told Peter. When he told Nicodemus that you must be born again of the water and the Spirit, that led us over to when Jesus told Peter, upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. What does he mean? He then led us over to the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4. And he told Peter, he gave Peter the keys to the kingdom. The keys are repentance. Repent. Well, I got a little bit more time. No, you do not. I'm here to tell you today, time is of the essence. Time is not your friend. Because there will come a day where you're going to have to answer the call, or you're going to have to answer in judgment. You either answer the call or you're going to have to answer in judgment, whichever one. I don't know who I'm talking to today. This was not my approach today. This was not my approach. My approach was just to go through the notes and all this stuff, because I ain't even made it through half my notes. This ain't a notes thing today. This is a God call today, and I'm calling. Jesus is calling. He's calling. He's tenderly calling. He wants you. Why don't you get a man what he wants? Today might be your very last day. As many things that have been going around the world. Yes, we are living in the last days. What if the... Jesus. The Lord told me to tell you this. What if the Lord was to make this your last day on the earth? What if today was your last day? The Lord wanted me to say this to you. What if today was your last day? What if today was your last day? What if today was your last day to receive him? And it ain't necessarily you leaving off the scene in death. But what if the Lord raptures the church out today? What would you do? Where would you go? Where would you run? There would be no place to run. There would be no place to... There would be no place to run, no place to turn. You might say, "Well, I can go with the mortars. I don't have to receive the mark of the beast. I'll fight. How can you run with the? How can you run with the chariots, and you can't even run with the footmen? How can you run? How? Which means, how can you run then? What's getting ready? What's going to take place after the rapture? And you ain't running now. You can't even hardly run now. What makes you think that you're going to make it then? Oh, I just won't take the mark of the beast. And I just won't, you don't know what you'll do. Because this is going to be a great deception on the earth. And don't be in Christ and be lost. Because I'm going to tell you this right now. You're lost. Miss the mark if you want to. I'm going to tell you like my dad, I'm going to tell you like my daddy used to tell me, when I got in trouble, he'd be like, hey, do that if you want to. Do it if you want to. Do that again if you want to. So I'm going to say it just like that. Miss the mark if you want to. Miss the rapture if you want to. There's going to be, it's going to be all she wrote. That's why we need to recommit. That's why we need to preach the word of God the way we need to. And stop being profane with the word of God. What do you mean, Minister Adam, what do you mean by being profane with the word of God? You mixing the world with the word of God. That is profane. And the Bible says light and darkness have no fellowship. You can't mix the world with the word of God. You cannot do it. I was telling somebody that on yesterday. And they said, oh, we can agree to disagree. I ain't agreeing with that mess. I'm not agreeing with that mess. No, that mess is wrong. There is nowhere in the Bible that says you can do that and still live holy. He's looking for a holy church. He's looking for a righteous church without spot or wrinkle. Because the Bible says in Hebrews, I think it's Hebrews chapter 12, verse number 1. Matter of fact, I'll go there to it. He said, follow peace with all men. Follow peace with all men. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. This is what the Bible says. This is not the book of Minister Adam Tuttle. This ain't my book. I think it's Hebrews. Matter of fact, because I want to know. Amen. I want to make sure I'm right. It's in the book of Hebrews. Amen. Amen. It's telling us in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it doesn't say it in Hebrews chapter 1, but it does talk about a great cloud of witnesses. Lay aside every weight and sin that so easily beset you. But it does let us know. Amen. Holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. The Bible does say that. Amen. Amen. I am, matter of fact, I'm going to find it for you. Amen. It's Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. Amen. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14. And it reads, follow peace with all men, holiness without which no man shall see the Lord. Amen. Amen. And these two scriptures in Hebrews, these two verses in Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, and Hebrews chapter 12, verse 14, go hand in hand. Amen. And in Hebrews chapter 12, verse 1, it says, therefore, seeing we all also are compassed about with a greater cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and sin that do easily beset us. Let us run. Let us run with patience the race that is set before us. That lets us know that we have to run this race. We have to do the unthinkable in man's eyes. When I say the unthinkable, sometimes man, the world will think another way. They think that's unthinkable. That's you don't need to do that. You don't need to do that. Some people in the church will say, that's old fashioned. God ain't doing it that way no more. Yes, he is. It don't take all that. Yes, it does. It takes all that and more, especially in the day and hour that we are living in. It don't take all that. Well, if it didn't take all that, why is the founding fathers and mothers of the gospel, why did they have more power than we got today? Why is it that we always talk about miracle signs and wonders, and we talk about prosperity? Why were they so prosperous in their generation? Why were they the people that we say it don't take all that anymore, or that's old fashioned? Why were they more anointed than we are today? Why did they have more miracles than we have today? Why were their faith? Because their faith was so strong. Because they were underneath the anointing at all times. They cleaved to the church. When I say they cleaved to the church, they didn't cleave to the building. They cleaved to God, which made them go to the building, which made them stay in the race. And they ran the race with patience. Amen. They ran the race with patience. Amen. In these last few minutes, I want to do this because time is getting away from us. But I want to, any person, anybody that has a comment, want you to leave a quick comment real quick because we're short on time. But I want to get whoever wants to leave a comment, has a question, I want to try to get that in before we leave off the air today. So if anybody, your mics are unmuted, amen, so you can speak freely in Jesus' name. Amen. You can speak freely now at this time in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I thank God. I thank God. And if you are in our chat room, talk to us. Chat with us. Type it. Say what the Lord has said to you. Amen. Speak with us, say what the Lord has said to you. Amen. But I want you guys to get this. I want you guys to understand this. There's a couple things before we leave today that I want you to understand. Number one, the Lord is not short of his word. And I guess this could be you could call this altar call, even though we're over the airways. The Lord is not short of his word. The Lord is not going to back down from his word because he is the word. He's not going to back down from himself. The Lord means what he says. It is holiness or hell. There is a heaven and there is a hell. And your soul will spend eternity somewhere. You cannot choose the consequences of the actions, but you can choose where you want to go. And I used to, back in the day, when I first got saved, I used to think that God sent people to hell because of their sin. God don't send nobody to hell. And you might say, well, I thought you said it was a heaven and a hell. There is. But God don't send nobody to hell. Because God had to deal with me on scripture. God don't send nobody to hell, but we send ourselves. He just sends you where you want to go. I don't want to go to hell. What do you mean God sends me where I want to go? He sends you where you want to go. If and he does not look at your lip service, but he look at your life service. The Bible, as we read in Romans chapter 12, verse 1, that if you present your body as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, that is just your reasonable service. If you live for the Lord, that is just your reasonable service. If you are baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, because it ain't just, and some people will say that only thing you got to do is confess with your mouth and believe in your heart and you're saved. Let me tell you, it's more to it than just that. It's more to it than just that. You got to be, there's more than just confession of your mouth. I've said it, and I'm not going to back down from it. I'm not, because this is what the Bible says. The Bible says, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusted in him. When you put your trust in him, you have faith in him. You believe in him, and what you believe, you're going to act upon. The act is you being baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission, meaning the removal of your sins. The Bible, anything that I say, I want to give you Bible to back it up. But Minister Adam, I've been baptized. I've been baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Let me tell you something. There's more than just the name. There's more than just titles. But there is a name. There is a name given among men whereby we must be saved. It didn't say titles. It said name. The name is Jesus. The name that is given was Jesus. Not Father, not Son, not Holy Ghost. Those are titles. When Jesus, in Matthew 28:19, that was the Great Commission. Commission means command. He was commanding his disciples to teach, to preach, and to baptize in his name. He never said to be baptized in the name of the Father, the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. That is not baptism. Being sprinkled with water is not baptism. Baptism, the word baptize, or the word baptism in the Greek, believe it's in the Greek or the Hebrew tongue, means the word baptizo, which means submerge, which means you need to go underneath the water. That is symbolic. When you repent and you be baptized in Jesus' name and you come up speaking in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, that is symbolic of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is symbolic. When you repent, that is symbolic of your spiritual death. When you go down in the water, that is symbolic of your spiritual burial. And when you speak in tongues as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, that shows you that you have life. Just like a newborn baby, that doctor looks for that cry, for the signs of life. When you speak in other tongues, as the Spirit of God gives the utterance, that tells you that you have life in him. That means that you have lived out the scripture, greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. That it means that you have lived out the scripture. You have fulfilled the scripture, Acts 1:8. After the Holy Ghost has come upon you, ye shall have power. In Acts chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, they did the same thing on the day of Pentecost in the upper room. They spoke in other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance. If you, and now I will say this, you can speak in tongues before you are baptized in Jesus' name. I've seen it happen and I've heard it happen. But you must have both. You must have both. Just like Jesus told Nicodemus in John chapter 3, verses 3 through 5, you got to be born again of the water and of the Spirit. So you might say, well, I spoke in tongues before I even entered the water. Okay, right. You got the Spirit. Now you got to get the water. Now you got to go down in the water. Your sins got to be washed away. Otherwise, if we're not born again by the water and the Spirit, we're not fit for the kingdom. Because Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says, if you don't have his Spirit, you're none of his. Amen. Romans chapter 8, verse 9 says that. Amen. And I'll read it to you. I'll read it to you in these last few minutes that we have. Romans chapter 8, verse number 9 says, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of God, have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You know what that means? That means you're not fit for the kingdom. If you have not received the precious gift of the Holy Ghost, as it's recorded in Acts chapter 2, verse 38 says, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of your sins, ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Verse 39 says, and this promise is unto you and unto your children and unto those that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Which means this is for everybody. This right here, this call is for everybody. This call to salvation is for everybody. And if you don't answer the call, you are not fit for the kingdom. If you have not been baptized, if you have not repented of your sins and been baptized in Jesus' name, I'm sorry. You're not fit. I'm just going to say it. Yes, you might have been baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, but there's more than that. And look, let me show you. Let me give you an example real quick. Let me give you this quick example. If I give you a check for $1 million, if somebody gave you a check for $1 million, they are not going to write on there, you're a father, you're a son. They ain't gonna write that. They ain't gonna write that you you're a brother, you're a son, and you're a father. They ain't gonna write you're a mother, you're a sister, and you're a daughter. They gonna put your name on there, so you can receive that money. Well, guess what? Jesus wrote his name on that spiritual check for you to be saved. Jesus put his name on there because his name was the only name that would fit. There was a name given among men whereby we must be saved. If you go in there, if you go into a bank with a check that's written out where it has the name on there and you put on there that you are a brother, a father, and a son, they're going to look at you like you crazy. They're going to look at you like you crazy. They're going to ask you, what is your name for you to receive that money? That's the same thing in the spirit. That spiritual check has been signed by Jesus Christ, and he paid it with his own blood. And the gift of the Holy Ghost has been extended unto man. But you got to go down in his name. And I've said this before. Just like my natural father, I took on my natural father's name. I had benefits when I lived with him as his son because I took on my father's last name. But we had friends. Me and my brothers and my sister had friends to come over. They didn't receive all of the benefits of my father because they didn't live in the house. But they received partial benefits. They received, when they came over and spent the night, they received a roof over their head, food in their stomach, and a nice night. But they didn't receive the health care, the dental care, the all of that stuff that came with his health plan on his job. That's the same thing with Jesus. Some people are living beneath their privilege in Jesus. Without the Spirit of God, you're none of his. But he said he reigns over the just and the unjust. Every day you live, you're blessed. You're blessed because you're able to get it right with him. God bless you. I love you in Jesus' name. I pray that you have a very, very blessed week, rest of your weekend, and a very, very blessed week next week. This is The Summit with Minister Adam Tuggle right here on Blog Talk Radio, right here on the Spirit Alive Network, where we want you to be ye transformed. Amen. God bless you in Jesus' name. I love each and every one of you. And until next week, like my grandmother used to say, if you don't see me again, and since we're on the radio, I'm going to say it like I want to. If you don't hear my voice again, amen, I will see you in the rapture of the church. God bless you in Jesus' name.